Yeah, hockey is in the preseason currently. I keep on failing to put the Blue Jackets schedule on my calendar here, at least the tickets that I have, so that I can sell them. And I need to do that sometime this weekend.
Yeah, I was like, Wings and Detroit-Pittsburgh puck drop. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, never mind. Like, these don't matter. And then they're like, yeah, rookie bubble. I'm like, okay, don't care.
Yeah, it's like the NFL regular or preseason now. It's everyone trying out. They're figuring out what their depth is and what they want to do with it. And no one who really plays really plays.
No. Oh, yeah, they're talking about these rookies. Oh, I'm like, who are these guys? Like, are these the Griffins? Oh, wow. But, yeah, I'm trying to think. Ohio State's got Maryland this week, right?
Yeah, correct.
Is that in Columbus or no?
You know, I'm not quite sure. I was going to say, I'll take a look here. Here.
All right. That's an intriguing game.
Holy smokes. I can't believe that Ohio State's still 19.5 point favorites.
How?
Yikes.
They don't score 19 points a game. Because anybody worth a damn. And that's all bias aside.
I don't know how you can be a 19-point favorite when you've barely managed that most of the games that you've played.
Yeah. All right. Oh, they're at noon. Unless, wow, there's three big games at noon? Wow. There's Texas, Oklahoma's at noon. Ohio State, Maryland, which shouldn't be a game, but Maryland's always tricky now. Like, they're not the best, obviously, but let's see here. I'm just going to Ohio State's, like schedule or teams. I just want to see, like, what the scores were, but, I mean, why make it easily available? Because, you know. Oh, here we go.
No.
So they scored 23 against Indiana, of course, 35 against Youngstown State, which, I don't know, is Bo Pelini still their coach? I think so.
Oh.
63 against Western Kentucky, which is in Western Kentucky, sure.
And then
Notre Dame, they scored 17. I don't see the justification. How's Maryland done that? Because I know they struggled against it. It was so funny. That Big Ten deal for the NBC is finally starting to work out with Big Ten games. But, I mean, we talked about it. They had Charlotte versus Maryland as the primetime game on NBC.
Oh, they were just dying.
I mean, Maryland is doing better against their opponents. 38-6, 38-20, 42-14 against Virginia, an ACC team. And then 31-9 against Michigan State, which it's a borderline MAC team at this point. And then Indiana, they scored 44. I don't understand the justification of a 19.5 point spread based off that.
No.
Las Vegas knows something we don't.
Yeah, because the over-under is 56.5 points. That seems...
Is that 28?
Yeah, 28 apiece.
Yeah, that seems pretty easy, actually.
Yeah, over-under seems pretty reasonable to me. I would probably go for the over. But
yeah, I mean
or no, I might go for the under on that one. Ohio State's defense, I think, is at least decent. But their offense is questionable.
The offense is questionable, and I told you when I texted you, I still don't know what they are. Like, you can say the defense is good, but they played Notre Dame. Their toughest schedule was Notre Dame. They gave them 14 to damn near lose that game at the end. So it's like, they okay? They good? I mean, that's
a fair statement.
So that's why I'll be very curious to see how that plays out. And even Penn State last week, I saw the beginning of that game with Northwestern. I'm like, all right, they're going to win this game.
Oh.
But this is a shit way of getting your season going. Like,
they really struggled in that first half and got things straightened out in the second half.
Yeah, it's so weird with kids. Like, and that's what we forget. Like, we are double their age now.
Oh, I do not forget that when they pan in on some of these children.
Yes. Yes. Student athletes.
Student athletes, some of the cheer team, band team. It's just like, holy smokes, you look really young.
You know, the worst part about it is when we're watching and they show like a homecoming game and the cheerleaders are our age. Like the homecoming cheerleaders, you know, they always bring back alumni.
Oh.
Like, we're not quite there. Oh, no, I'm sorry. What I meant was when we see the alumni cheerleaders, and we're like, wow, they look pretty young. Like, oh, shit. that's not good. So, yeah. Because they always show, like, the old guys, like, the old men and women.
Yeah.
Who are, like, the cheerleaders. You're like, oh, they're so cute. They're so old. And one day, it's going to be the exact opposite. You show them, Bill. We can still do this. Ugh. God. So, the WNBA is going to expand.
No, good for
so
them.
So, Michigan plays Minnesota at night. So, yep. But
that's a game that's going to exist.
Yeah, it's on the road at night. So, it'll be a little haphazard to begin with. But the way they blasted Nebraska, who's not a good team, don't get me wrong, that game was ugly. Like, we were out watching it at this Oktoberfest here, and like there was a Michigan table in front of us, which was fun, but we had like a group of 10 of us, and they had that USC and Colorado, and like I'm not a Colorado fan, but I was kind of pulling for them to make that comeback.
Oh,
damn it. So
yeah, I think we missed a little bit of that in transit somewhere.
Good game. If their defense would have played worth a shit in the first half, you know?
They gave up a ton of points in that first half.
Yeah. But that's USC, though, man. I mean.
Oh. Yeah, they're supposed to be scoring 48 a game.
Yeah.
If they get a 19.5-point spread, it's not a surprise.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, but I saw the Big Ten schedule for next year and the following years. It looks so weird. But at least Oregon and USC go to Ann Arbor, and then they go to Washington. So,
oh,
yeah. They said that they made the schedule so that the West Coast teams come east once, and the East Coast teams go to the west once. I don't know how that's going to work out, but that's what they said. So, I still find it ridiculous that USC is going to travel to New Jersey to play Rutgers. In November, like, okay, so
it's gonna be interesting. The whole realignment thing is pretty wild, because since Pitt is in the ACC, that was definitely something that popped into my mind, because they picked up, was it UCLA?
Yeah, USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington.
Oh, hold on. No, I'm thinking of who because ACC got the, what other, Western team?
Stanford.
Oh, Stanford.
Cal.
Oh, Stanford, Cal, and SMU. Because.
Which, boy, they look kind of stupid not taking Oregon State and Washington State.
Well, someone made the joke that they only picked up schools that live on some type of coast. Since it's the Gulf Coast for SMU.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Is it really?
I think they're at least somewhat close.
Oh, okay.
There. So, yeah, because someone was joking, the All-Coast Conference. So is the Atlantic, Gulf, and Pacific now.
It's so bad, man. It's so bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, are they still going to be playing games? I'm like, okay, sure. Like, I don't really have that much. I know that we've talked about it before on the show. Like, yeah. I watch a lot of college football, but my vested interest is always not the highest. It's like, I don't care what happens here, guys. It's just I'm here to eat popcorn and watch this shit unravel.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. So,
because it is wild what's going on. Because I know the wife had managed to like get a look at. Because someone was mentioning how much money they keep around for school visits now.
Yeah.
Because she was talking about it being like $5,000, like these kids wanting $5,000 just to visit. And I'm just like, dang, man, that's something.
Well, they're also, Ohio State's paying some of their recruits to not go to other schools for visits. Yeah, that's where we are. That's not like that's not the spirit of this NIL stuff. You know what I mean?
There is definitely they need to be able to make money somehow. Like that was, you know, when all this stuff started, cuz I remember that kid that was like a YouTuber that he was a punter for like Central State or something. Maybe it was Central Florida. I don't remember exactly. But they had to have him shut down the channel because he was making money off of it. And it's just like, no, that's fucking bullshit, man. Like, that is... That has nothing to do with what he's doing on a football field, really.
Well, wasn't there the one Olympic guy? He was a skier that played for Colorado?
Yeah, Jeremy Bloom had problems way back.
And didn't he end up quitting Colorado and just... State skiing?
He did do the skiing and then got into the NFL later.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's, yeah. Now, the NCAA is going to the wayside anyways. Like, they're coming up with new rules now to where they can punish just individuals instead of a school. And everyone's like, I can't imagine what they're doing that rule for. So, it's, like, if you show institutional lack of control, that's everybody. It's not one person, but they only want to get one person. So, I mean, that's, the coach gets fired, then, okay, what do you do to the coach then? Nothing. You're still going to go backwards and go back to the school. And go, well, you guys got to be punished for this. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But the NCAA is worthless. All these schools have to do is just say no. No.
Oh.
How's that? What are you going to do? Nothing. Just like Tennessee did. They had, like, how many violations? They just went, oh, nah. We'll sue you. And they backed out. Look at North Carolina successfully finally got that one kid. He's eligible to play this year.
And that was like, something that I haven't paid attention to that saga in any way, but it pops up on YouTube that after X number, I don't think it mentioned number of appeals, but after multiple appeals, so-and-so is ready to play basketball for North Carolina. I'm like, what the fuck? It's like, whatever. I don't have the capacity for this. Swipe.
Well, this kid's football. So he – I don't remember his name offhand. But the gist of it is he was at one school, and he used his transfer to go somewhere else. And I want to say it was Kent State. But then he never played a game. And he was like, oh, I'm getting out of here and going to North Carolina instead. So I don't know if he even enrolled in school, but they said he was transferring. We'll just use Kent State in this example.
Oh, sure.
And they were like, well, I didn't play for the team. I didn't practice. I didn't do anything. And the NCAA is like, well, no, you transferred to that school. He's like, I didn't transfer to him. And I guess he did transfer to the school. And then he... unenrolled? The term. Okay, thanks. And then he went to North Carolina. And it's like, well, no, you went to that school. Well, I can go to school anywhere I want as long as I don't play. Like, they just kept coming back. Like, I never played. I wasn't part of the team, this and this. And they just said, no. And again, I don't know why. Like, I know why North Carolina's playing nice because the NCAA went after them forever.
Yeah,
but it's after a while, I think the school's like, we're going to play this kid anyways. What are you going to do? You going to roll our games ineligible? No. How's that? No. We're not vacating wins. No. Like, they can't do anything because they are powerless now, especially now that the kids get paid. The NCAA has got nothing. So they just don't want to lose out on all their billions of dollars. It's pretty much what it comes down to.
Yeah, everyone likes their money.
Yep. A bunch of guys doing nothing, making money off the kids who don't get monetarily paid. They get free tuition, so I'll never say they don't get paid. But
yeah,
they ain't making what they're supposed to. So
yeah, especially the football teams.
Right.
They definitely bring in more money than they're being paid.
Yeah, absolutely. And then even like, who are those two Miami people? The two women, that now were like signed WWE deals.
Oh, the Kavinder twins.
Yeah, I mean, they have their YouTube or Instagram. I don't know much about them, but I guess they're good looking, whatever.
Yeah.
So would they have had to give up that stuff to be on the volleyball team?
In the past, yes.
Yeah, so that's stupid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, and they just got like, it's just like everyone knows that they're using products. Like, why weren't they allowed to get products anyway? The whole tattoo gate thing never would have happened at Ohio State with Tressel if this shit was around. I mean, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, look at the bullshit they're trying with Harbaugh for buying a fucking cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Yeah. It's because he keeps calling you guys out on your hypocrisy. So, you know, and I still love that no other news agency picked up the fact that he started his season opening call by saying, we need to start compensating these players. No one picked up on it and talks about it. So that just shows you, like, they're all in bed with each other. So conferences, networks, everything. So.
There's too much tied up. For the NCAA to completely go away, like, I'd be pretty surprised at something like that happening. You know, like, there's too much money tied up in this situation to completely get yourself extricated from it.
Yep. Yeah. So, but yeah, whatever. It's as much as I complain about the current state, I'm still enjoying the games. And, I mean, besides Michigan being renewed really helps. Hating Ohio State has always been easy, but it's a lot more fun now. Because Ryan Day's going to lose his mind if he loses Saturday. Which is a lot of fun to see. And then I think Deion Sanders has been a lot of fun, too. So,
unfortunately, conference life has hit him pretty hard.
We'll see. He freaked out after barely beating Notre Dame. So.
Oh, no, not Day, Deion Sanders.
I know they're going back to the Big 12 next year. I keep forgetting that TCU was not a Big 12 game. And Colorado State was nothing. So, yeah, playing the big boys.
Oh. And I mean, Colorado State kind of hung in there.
Right. I shut that off thinking it was over. No, I'm sorry, I fell asleep thinking it was over. Because I was out until like 2 in the morning. Like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no, that one wasn't.
Oh. Colorado State was a night game. That started at 10 at night.
Oh, yeah. That was. I think I went to bed at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, no, I think I was on my own that weekend, so I just stayed up the entire time.
It's been a little rough going past 1 a.m. For me. Occasionally I will get there on the weekends, and one was a little too late for me with the 10 p.m. start.
Yeah, I don't sleep anyway, so it doesn't matter. Especially, like, we end these shows, I'm up for at least another hour afterwards. Even though I say I'm tired, my body just doesn't shut down. I don't know what it is. Well, my mind doesn't shut down. It's more of the point. But, and then, you know, it's funny because we were talking about how to get into wrestling talk finally. It's funny how we were talking about it's really awesome WWE does their stuff on Saturdays now. And now I'm like, can you guys go back to Sunday for a while? I don't really care. Most of the time, I don't care about the Sunday night games. and I've already been watching football since the second I wake up on Saturday until the night game on Sunday. I'm burnt. So, and yes, I can go do other things, I know, but... like Fast Lane's coming up Saturday. I know I'm going to miss it. And then the Lions play the Panthers, which, by the way, I bought ticket, right? First game's on NBC. Second game's on ticket. All right, cool. Third game is on local Fox here because they played Atlanta. And the Panthers didn't play till 4. Last week, they beat the hell out of the Packers on Amazon Prime. This week, they're playing the Panthers, so it's on local TV for free. So to review, I spent all this money in 4 out of the first 5 games I could have seen for free. That including, I think they still have another Thursday for Thanksgiving, and I think 2 Monday night games. And they can be flexed into the Sunday night spot at any time.
Oh, well, is it any time during the season now?
I think so.
Not just the end.
Maybe it's later in the season.
Yeah, it used to just be late in the season. I'm not quite sure if the rules have changed on that front or not. Because I want to say it's like maybe the last 4 weeks or something, last month or so, that was available. Maybe it's 4 to 6. Yeah, that sounds right. Maybe when the playoff picture is shaping up a little bit more.
Yeah, because I know the Lions and Cowboys play each other. Like, I think the last two or three weeks of the season are all TBA right now. Something like that.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it'd be nice for my own personal sake. I guess I do wake up, Sunday mornings I wake up and watch a college football final. And then, yeah, so that's my fault. It's all about me. So, but I don't really even know where to start. Like, we were talking about next week and how we're going to record and stuff, and I was dead serious. I didn't even realize AEW was going to be on Tuesday next week.
Yeah, Chris was the one that informed me that they were going to be on Tuesday, and then they did mention it quite a bit during the broadcast there.
Well, it's hard for me to pay attention sometimes when I'm smacking my head on the back of the couch watching that show. Like, that opening match, I don't care if Rey Fénix and Nick Jackson are athletic. They can't wrestle with psychology for shit. Neither of them. That whole spot, I even called it. They kept kicking each other. Fénix is kicking out of a move that would kill you every single time. Every single time I go, this is going to end in a roll-up. Sure enough, it ends in a fucking roll-up. It's embarrassing how bad that match was.
When I saw that end, that was... now I'm thinking of... what's her name? Madeline Kahn in Clue, where it's just like, they're just flames coming out of my head. And this is just like, oh my God, I was so, like, I guess I still enjoy the athleticism that both of them bring, but the moment that I saw Fénix kick out of, like, it was at least 4 moves that should have been finishers.
In a row. Yeah, and then just springs up and jumps off the top rope like nothing's wrong. And it's like, what is this bullshit?
Yeah. It really took a lot off of that, because I had to laugh that even Taz was just like, well, sometimes it just happens that way. Like, he was just lying, you know, he's like, I know that people are going to hate this.
No, there are people chanting, this is awesome. I'm like, you guys have eyes? Like, okay. Did you ever see the last Fast and Furious movie? Was it Fast X?
I have not watched that yet. even though it's on Peacock and accessible now, still have not gotten around to it.
It's the worst one of the bunch. Yes, I'm going to go see the rest because I have to fit. I've seen every one of them. It's so implausible and idiotic now. that it just, you're never like, oh, okay, everyone's fine. And, like, oh, someone dies in it, and you're like, wow, really? I'm sure they're not.
They've brought enough people back from the dead themselves to...
From situations where there's no actual plausible way, but whatever. It's Fast and Furious, right?
Yeah, they usually... They've at least tried to cover things over in the past.
Yeah, and I want to take that approach with AEW. Like, this is nonsensical garbage. But then they'll have something that's really good. And it's like, well, you guys keep screwing with me.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a... Is it give, take? Or love, hate, I guess, situation going on with them. Because there's some stuff on last night's Dynamite that, you know, I guess we let off with the groan-worthy stuff. Some of the backstage stuff was killing me last night. Because, like, the Tony Storm stuff was hilarious. That whole character, I'm like, does Tony Storm finally have, like, a real character?
Yes, I thought the same thing.
I think that she did okay as just, like, the rock and roll woman when she first got introduced on the Mae Young Classic. And she rode that for a little bit. Ever since then, like, she didn't really have much of a character between then and now.
Right.
It's weird that she was a two-time champion in AEW and never really had a character.
God, I forgot she was. Well, she was always trying to be, like, the good girl, right? Like, I'm trying to remember. She was always a face in NXT, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So she was kind of bland, and, like, maybe it was just the way it was. But, yeah, like, you know, she came out with the rocker chick stuff or whatever, glam rock chick, whatever. And it was like, oh, we liked her because her matches were good outside the finishes, which are always flat for some reason. And then she goes to AEW, and you're like, oh, okay, now she's a bad guy. And then she has a little snap thing, and it's like, oh, this is kind of cool. You see a different side of her. And then those things with her and RJ City and her just acting like a 20s starlet. And then what is she? Oh, she's called. She calls herself Timeless now?
Yeah. Timeless Tony Storm.
Yeah. So it's like, all right. So that's like an example of something that started off kind of weird. Like she's wearing silk robes and lingerie, basically. Like, what's she doing?
It did not make sense. Like, when she just showed up, she lost the championship. And then just showed up on the next show in the rope. And it's just like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they had this idea in mind from Jumpstart, but wow, it's really turned into something here.
Yeah. And so that's like an example of something that started off bad was good. Now, this is character work, and it's like, well, we don't really know who Rey Fénix is or Nick Jackson. Are they, like, Matt and Nick faces, or, like, what, I mean, they're just, like, they're douchebags that people like, I don't get it. So at least Tony Storm's developed a character now, like, or shown personality, you know, something like that. But
yeah.
It's, like, the show was maddening last night.
Yeah, it was definitely up and down. Like, I'm still shocked, by the way, that Tony Khan really threw TBS, like, under the bus. I'm like, did he get an okay for this? Like, I looked at the Twitter timeline today after the fact and saw everything that he was posting. And I'm just like, he had to have okayed this, right? Like, or does he have that much fuck you money that he doesn't care if he gets kicked off of this platform?
Well... So I did a little more reading, because I was like, I even called him out, like, you know, he saw my tweet. And I said, this is bullshit. I go, it's not their fault. You've been doing this for 4 years. As evidenced by every single show has an audio problem. And it turns out that TBS, was it Warner Discovery now? I guess across platforms, they're having audio issues. It's digitized and all this. And it's like, okay, but it was only during backstage or vignettes. So you're trying to tell me that everything's perfect until you go backstage, and then Discovery goes, oh my God, we don't know what we're doing. It's your show. It's your audio, guys. You press the button to kill the arena audio, and you... So, it's just like, alright, I don't care, but I'm with you. Like, you just threw them under the bus like that? Like,
yeah, that part was really the most surprising thing to me. I'm just like, really? Like, this is what we're going with right now?
Yeah. I'm also wondering if there may have been a different audio setup because of the end of the show. To kind of guarantee that, you know, that gets covered up. Because, you know, Moxley swears all the time and it makes it.
Oh, well, it was random that, they don't care about holy shit, but, go fuck yourself gets bleeped. Like, I'm like, what? I'm just asking for a little consistency on the bleepage.
Well, you know, the thing is, they don't have to. Cable doesn't follow FCC regulations. Now, but I'm pretty sure they don't want to put a TVMA on AEW Wrestling. And especially because the sponsors probably have it to where they're like, hey, you know, no, well, they don't care about mindless violence, I guess, but...
Yeah, they don't care about blood, guts, and all kinds of... And I was about to get into something else, but let's stay on topic.
No, feel free. I think I know where you're going with it anyways. You're not wrong.
I was going to say just more fucking headshots. Just, I guess, talking about the maddening stuff that happens in this company. Was where my head went. I'm like, hold on, this is like way off topic from where we are.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go with like, my thing has always been, you can be as violent as you want to be, but you're not supposed to swear being violent.
No.
You can be as violent as you want to be, as long as one of those dirty female titties pop out. You know, heaven forbid, if a nasty titty shows up, everyone throws up. But you can sever someone's head, and they're like, oh, that's fine. PG-13.
Yeah, you can stab someone with skewers in the head. That is completely okay.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Like,
a nipple is beyond the pale, though.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly have changed standards for ass. And that's in all shows now. I mean... Yeah, but anyway,
there is definitely no problem showing that now.
All right, real quick aside, off topic, of course. When are we going to get someone just wrestling in a G-string? That has to be soon, right? I mean, did you see? And it was this is on Peacock, but did you see Tiffany Stratton and Becky Lynch?
Yes.
Now,
I almost sent you a text on the topic because I was just like, wow, alrighty then.
I guess we can get into that later, but it's like, yeah. The context of the match was silly. It's Extreme Rules. She's basically wearing a thong. Like,
she definitely did not come with proper street fight attire.
No. So anyways, but back to AEW. Like, last night, it seemed like they wanted to reset everything. Or go, all right, this is what we're doing. And they just smacked us over the head with it. And that was the part where I was like, what's going on? Like, Wardlow comes out, destroys Griff Garrison, leaves through the crowd, and that's it. And you're like, so they don't have anything meaningful for Wardlow still.
Oh,
think about it.
No, I would guess they don't. I can't believe that it was what they say since June. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. Was he hurt or something?
No idea. You know, again, just because people do not exactly release injury reports in professional wrestling, it makes it kind of hard to know whether someone's hurt or not.
Yeah, I mean, they had that really the last time they both battered, Hobbs and Wardlow, that weird feud.
Yeah.
And a weird turn on a dime for Hobbs to go to the QTV.
Yep.
And then show up and beat the hell out of Kenny Omega? It's like, what?
I will give credit where it is due from Seahawk. The Faction Jackson as the is Hobbs' nickname. And I'm just like, I was like, fucking home run, sir.
I didn't think he was old enough to know what that means.
Tip of the cap on that one.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a couple years. Anyways. It was funny watching that segment. You could tell he was taking too long. Because Jericho and Don Callis are like near ringside still. And they're just kind of watching, like, is he coming back? Like, there's actually one point where they're standing there, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, and they start moving when the camera's on them. Like,
Hobbs took his sweet old time getting out there?
Yeah, I think, no, when he was beating Omega, remember he dragged him into the crowd.
Oh, uh-huh.
I think it took too long. So, and they were like, all right, we're kind of, like, we're coming up on time here, buddy. So,
we need to do something about this, sir. Like, this show does not last forever.
And what women's match did we have?
Well, there...
That was rude. Sorry.
There was the Toni Storm match. Right. And I'm trying to... Because she was against Sky Blue. Was that the only...
Oh, that's right. She did fight Sky Blue. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, because, I mean...
Oh, that was it?
Yeah, that was the only women's match.
Oh, my lord. So, okay. So, as a fourth anniversary show, that was a failure. You didn't showcase your company. You had a meaningless international title, which now, like, Moxley gets a rematch. And Orange Cassidy very astutely points out, you know, I was just champion for, like, 7 months. That's all. Doesn't get a rematch. Moxley loses. Gets a rematch. And it's like, what's going on here? And I know it's not Orange Cassidy's character to complain. Or, like, really care. But if you got the guy that doesn't care pointing out the flaw in this whole thing, it's pretty goofy. Like, to me.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And even Hook was like, yeah. Although he was eating Lay's potato chips. Like, dude, those are nasty.
Oh, I did not pay attention to type of potato chip. You are correct.
The plain Lay's. Like, oh, no.
They are the greasiest chip on the planet.
They seem to be mostly grease now. My parents had some at Thanksgiving last year, and I could not believe how thin those things were and just oily. Like, this is nuts.
Yeah, so, they are terrible.
Yeah.
Now, bad choice by Lays, Hook.
Not bad. So,
but, of course, I know that Hook only eats chips in those segments. There's no way he looks like that and eats chips. Well, maybe there is because he's in his 20s, so fuck him.
Yeah, he's probably doing cardio like a motherfucker, too, which is another thing. You know?
Well, yeah.
If you're training wrestling, you burn a lot of calories. So,
yeah.
You need the carbs. So, yeah. I know there's better carbs to get, but not better tasting. All right.
Better tasting. Something other than Lay's. Look, if you're going to eat potato chips, come on, sir.
Yeah. How does he not have... Maybe he does. I was like, maybe he's got a sponsorship deal. That'd be pretty smart for him.
Oh.
Oh. just kind of like the bag gets slightly, or they make like a slightly larger bag for them, so you can constantly see what it is. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they have a chip sponsor. I didn't even pay attention. But
oh yeah, I'm not good. I love the Renee's exasperation during that interview. Honestly, I mean, that was another one where a lot of the backstage stuff was kind of fun on this show, because even the infamous Roderick Strong, there's no audio spot, was pretty funny. Like the
yeah, it's still to me though. Like I thought they should have just left it as he bought him the scooter or the mobility scooter.
Oh,
and not done the whole moving furniture thing. I think, like, to me, that's when it overstayed its welcome.
Gotcha.
Although, Matt Taven petting a stuffed animal giraffe just cracked me up for some reason. Like, I'm not one of the guys that hates on Taven and Bennett. I've never really been a fan of Taven because I just don't, like, pay attention to him. That was so absurd and funny. Like,
yeah,
why is he doing that?
That was one of the funnier things I feel like Matt Taven has done. Like, I was okay with him in ROH. I enjoyed him for the most part. But, yeah, there's something still with him that... well, the fact that he still uses the word Melvin, I'm like, yeah, there's a reason you're where you're at, sir.
Just called him Melvin.
Oh, you don't remember calling people a Melvin in the 80s? Someone who was like, I'm trying to think of, because I don't think dorky was quite the right.
No, I honestly, is that why it's the band the Melvins then? No, we were just using the generic ones you're not allowed to say anymore. So, or not.
Oh, supposed. That's what it, a wedgie performed from in front of the victim.
Okay. Yeah, well, it goes back to what you're saying. He shouldn't say that anymore. So.
Yes.
You're exactly right. Yes.
So, it's just like, dude. Because I guess I remember calling people Melvin, so, but I'm like, dude, this reference is dated, and still, I don't remember it being that terribly popular. So it's like, why are you using this one of all of them?
For a guy who's up on his insults, at least I used to be, yeah, Melvin never came across my board. So
yeah,
but no, like I enjoyed that. I was like, well, they, I think Dan Keister said something about, well, they really wanted to play that again, huh? Like,
yeah, I'm not sure that it was worth getting, and I think maybe that's the other thing, like, I'm not sure that it's worth getting that upset by. That problem literally, because I don't remember any of the other things having problems, like, it was just that segment, because the second that what's his name went back to talking, Excalibur.
It was fun.
Fun. Like, no. It's just like, why are you this? Like, if they had had problems, segments in and out, I'm like, Tony, throw them under the bus. You know what I mean? But it was like one segment that took up minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Yeah. No, there was another segment that had problems. There were two or three.
Oh, okay.
I think that when Adam Copeland first showed up, the sound was off, and they slowly adjusted it. And then there was somebody else that was in the ring or backstage doing something, and it was off.
Okay, I did not notice those.
So that's why I was saying it's only the backstage vignette. It's like, are we sure about this? But anyways, okay. So I guess you can kind of put this as intrigue, right? So Jay White gets his ass handed to him by a bunch of mystery people, right?
Oh, yep.
Did they even acknowledge this at all?
Yes. Okay, yeah.
I must have missed it.
Because, what's his name? Someone's like, because I remember Taz saying, MJF said that the mask was stolen out of his luggage. And I'm like, why the fuck did he just have that in his luggage?
Yeah, why is he carrying around?
But then he goes, oh, you know, Max is a stand-up guy. And I'm like, well, at least Taz is keeping with the bit here of, like, you know, being one of the only announcers to like MJF. And so they did try to cover things that were going on with that.
All right. I kind of missed it. And then, like, because, you know, the guns and juice are talking, blah, blah. And then Jay White comes out, beats up Max without showing a hint of being beat up last week. It was just last week. Like, you got destroyed by four guys. So my thing is that on purpose? Or is it just bad on their part?
I guess it depends upon how the storyline plays out. You know, I guess it depends upon who's behind the mask. I think you and I talked about it being Adam Cole last week.
Well, he's apparently out for a while.
Yeah. So. I have questioned whether he would be out long term. From what he has described on Twitch, he is going to be out long term. Unless he's really selling this not so bad injury.
That's true.
I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility. That seemed entirely too descriptive, though, to not be true.
See, that was my thing. Is like, is this like a big elaborate thing? It's so specific, and like they got away from, like, I don't know. It's, to me, it could go either way. But, you know, MJF's contract supposedly is up at the end of the year, or whenever. Even though he said he signed an extension, which, who knows? Like, and that, but that's the thing. Every MJF thing is kind of layered or covered in a realism, right? Even though it's fake.
Yeah. Oh.
No, him yelling at Tony Khan and going home. That was all staged. But
yeah.
If he's so good at it, it was like, oh, this is real. Like, no, it's not. So, could this be brushing off? Like, is Adam Cole pulling, like, for I guess the last person to really do this, a Sandman, where he's blind and no one can see him? No one's seen him since, you know? It's probably not.
No, I don't think it's that situation.
But I like the idea that it is fake. Like, for me, it would help salvage this. Weaken MJF.
Oh.
Like, let his guard down, all that sort of stuff. And then Adam Cole beats him, and it reveals he's a bad guy.
Yes. A, they need bad guys.
Yeah.
B, yeah, that... MJF's championship reign has been less than stellar.
Did he just defend the title? No, he didn't. The one before? No.
He had defended it all in against Adam Cole. And oh, hold on. Was that? Yeah, they fought each other. Yeah.
Then All Out was the next week.
Yep.
And then he defeated Samoa Joe, which I really enjoyed. I actually love, I know I'm changing subject, I loved cool, suave Samoa Joe. I've always liked that about him. Like, that vignette where he's just sipping a drink with a cigar and shit, that was great.
Yeah, I did like that, although I think that there was a relatively poor choice of words on his part.
What did he say?
He ends the promo with... When I'm hungry, I'm gonna eat, and I'm just like, come on, dude. Like, you put this one on a fucking platter, dude. Like, you put this, like, just right in front of me, like, all of my favorite foods all at once, and they're all hot and fresh and ready to be eaten. Like, come on. Like, I love you, Joe. That segment was great. Woof.
Yeah, but it's like, because he always, he most of the time does prepare himself or present himself as pretty cool.
Yeah. You know? Yes.
Then he gets angry, and it's something different. So I kind of like that presentation of it. And it's not something we've seen before. Well, I guess the Main Event Mafia at TNA, if anyone remembers that. But, you know, he didn't really fit too well. So, but anyways, back to MJF and Cole. Like, MJF is going against Jay White. All right, fine. They already announced that's going to be the next one for Full Gear. All right, so we actually have the title being defended on a pay-per-view. I think someone said 5 out of the last 6, it hasn't. Which I'm like, that can't be right.
Oh.
But then I start thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't remember when he's defended it outside of All In on pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, he has had some championship matches on just regular TV.
Yeah. Because I remember that used to be a big deal because he never wrestled on TV. So.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that maybe, I guess I'm not sure where to look that up exactly.
Yeah, but.
As far as what shows his matches have been on.
Yeah, but I mean, basically the point I was getting to, and I just kind of sidetracked, is if it turns out Jay White, like, somehow staged it.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of getting to that, too, a little bit.
Okay. Or, yeah, just something like that, then that's okay. Like, but if it's not, and it's another Rey Fénix situation, then god damn, man.
A Rey Fénix situation that he's injured?
No, that he doesn't ever get hurt. Rey Fénix in a match.
Oh, gotcha.
He does a kip up, gets kicked in the face. Kip up, kick in the face. Kip up, kick in the face. Pile driver from the ceiling. He's shot with a gun. Pops up, does a splash, rolls him up for a pin. It's like, okay. Like.
Yeah, it's funny how there's still a little bit of a. Kayfabe still has a little bit of a line that needs to be worked on.
If everyone, and WWE does the same thing, but they've actually done a little bit better of a job about it. If you get your ass beat, you need to show that it hurt, because why would I ever believe anything else is hurting you?
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can't
yeah, selling matters, story, kids.
Yeah, it does. And it's like some of the bozos that are in AEW just don't want to learn. Which, that's my segue into talking about Adam Copeland, or Cope, whatever he's, you know.
Really wish he would have gone with Sexton Hardcastle, but, you know, here we are.
Man, I know you and Chris already talked about him, but what was your opinion of him joining AEW?
It seems like the best option for him right now. Like, when he was on, this was the basic premise. When he was on the Edge and Christian, when they were doing a podcast together, it sounded like he wanted to come back and work with a young talent and, you know, have fun matches. And that just never materialized in the WWE. I don't know whose choice that was. It would seem to me that he probably has more choice in matches than a lot of people on the roster. So I'm not quite sure why it never worked out. But for reasons, it didn't, and I guess I'm buying essentially what he's selling both in print and what he said in the ring, you know, this week on Dynamite, that he's there for fresh matchups, and I want that to happen. Like, and yeah, AEW is just so weird in and of, like, we keep on talking about it. It's just so up and down. Like, I'm probably going to enjoy his matches. Are there probably going to be things about his storyline that drive me bananas? I almost completely guarantee that's going to happen.
Yeah. See, I'm never going to begrudge somebody for trying something new or starting, you know, he wasn't ready to retire. But it's like, you know, obviously it's their choice. But it's like the fan in me, I looked at, like, that last match with Sheamus. And it was like, God, so perfect, man. Like, you know? Your hometown.
Wrestlers definitely do not know when to hang it up.
But the thing is, he was saying that, like, he wanted to have more of a role in WWE and they didn't really have anything for him. And it's like, well, they gave him, like, the veteran role. And he did work with younger talent. After he got done with Randy Orton, well, no, they gave him a prominent spot with Roman Reigns, you know? We forget about this. And then moved on and formed Judgment Day as bad guys because no one wanted to boo Edge. That was his mistake. Like, he wanted to bring his talent together, and he wanted a bad guy faction. I was like, well, and we talked about it on the show.
You know,
that was some weak bad guy work. Calling people stupid or idiots or shut up. It's like, that's the best you got, man. Like, okay. I guess in an interview he said that Judgment Day kicking him out was a year too soon. It was actually plotted to go like 2 years. But I guess something came up that they needed him as a face.
Yeah.
Like, well,
it would have been more, well, maybe people would have bought into him being a heel if it had lasted longer. But I don't know, man. Like, I know that Chris and I probably more talked about it more. People just love Edge.
Right.
And it's just really hard to get people to boo him. Not everyone can be the slime ball that Christian is.
Right.
And that stuff is impressive, what the lengths that he's gone to be booed.
Yeah. But he's also getting to the problem where people are going to cheer for him. Because whenever something's fun, like him making fun of people's dead dads, as morbid as that sounds, people look forward to it.
Honestly, just with the way the AEW crowd is in general, I'm shocked that they have not been cheering for him already.
Yeah, I mean, they give him the oh stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's definitely coming. So, but to the Edge part, though.
Yeah.
When he said he wanted to go to AEW because he wanted to be there, all the new matchups. He said that on TV last night. He said it on, you know, interviews. At his press conference after appearing. And he was, you know, WWE's had a different path for me. Didn't have a place for me. And it's like, well, You kind of did exactly what you said you'd do. Judgment Day is nowhere without him putting that together. I mean, look at how over Rhea Ripley is now. Damian Priest is over. Finn's more over than he's ever been.
I don't know about ever, but he certainly finally has back his Universal Championship reign shine.
Yeah. Well, he even said himself that he's actually cutting promos now. And he goes, when I first got up there, I never really cut promos.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, he's right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then look what they did for Dominic Mysterio. And I know that came after, you know, the whole Edge was gone thing, but that's still part of it. Like, the younger talent got together, and just like he wanted. He wanted to help the business, help it grow. And then, you know, he faced Grayson Waller. So he was getting that stuff, but it was like, I guess I don't know what he means. He wanted to wrestle more, but then wouldn't seeing Edge, and this is where I'm going to go with AEW, isn't seeing him all the time just take the luster off and just make him just another guy?
He is definitely in that category of less is more. You know, I don't. He can do more appearances than the biggest one I can think of is Brock Lesnar. You know, definitely a guy that takes off a lot of time. But you know what? When he comes back, doesn't matter. Going to be a big match. Period. End of sentence.
Right.
You know, doesn't matter who he ends up wrestling. So, and Edge can really do that. So there isn't really, to me, there isn't a whole lot of value in him being on TV on a weekly basis.
No. I mean, AEW does that to the point where even CM Punk was getting to be there every week, which I understand they needed him to be because, one, you're paying him all that money, but then also, you know, oh my God, he was getting the ratings. Even, I'm trying, there were some other people that didn't show up all the time, but then like a Jon Moxley, he's on every week when he's not hurt. And it's like he's, and I know he gets a reaction, it's great. But with so many people on the roster, isn't it kind of nice to be like, he's not there this week. Oh my God, there he is. You know, like pop him, which I know it's kind of the opposite, because if you have stars, you want to use them all the time.
Oh. Yeah. I guess I still think it's a little much that they're just making all of their champions basically run through hoops constantly.
Well, that's the only way he books stuff. He doesn't know how to create stories. So, I mean, it's getting better.
Just because all of them, especially that international championship, it's like, oh, you've got to be on every show all the time. And it's just like, why isn't Rey Fénix smarter than Orange Cassidy and just go, no, I'm taking this week off. Fuck off. My back hurts.
Yeah, it's like Christian's a TNT champion, which was essentially the TV title. And he doesn't defend it at all. So it's like...
Yeah, that's more like it.
Yeah, well, the TV title should be defended every week. That's why it was created. So,
well, this is true.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's. But it brings me, like, you know, Edge talking about he wants to fight all these people. It's like, oh, that sounds fun. But then I just, knowing, like, just from hearing his interviews about how meticulous he is about things, how he wants things a certain way, and this and this. And then, oh, he wants to be there to help. He wants to be able to give advice. It's like, I think it's pretty well documented that the younger people in AEW don't listen. And that if you give them advice that's unsolicited, they don't want it. And it's not just CM Punk. It's a lot of people. That they just, like, William Regal, I think, even said it was very difficult because he was there to help and no one ever asked him for advice. So he would give it and he would get kind of blown off. And then Mark Henry said the same thing. Big Show said the same thing.
I guess that's what I was going to say. Like, I feel like they have enough people to lean on at this point that Edge isn't really going to bring anything to the table that anyone else has. Did he have a better... I was going to say, did he have a better career? But I mean, I don't know. Him and Big Show are at least on the same level, right?
I don't know. But the beginning of Big Show's career was such a disaster in WWE. Because, I mean, he comes in, loses immediately. Like, he cost McMahon the match by throwing... Like, it was all booking. But then he got really overweight. Then he started doing all the Hulk Hogan thing. You remember the impressions? He had a sumo match. It was like, I don't know. I think that's
debatable. Okay, well, you then know? He had the best career, then, of anyone that's moved over there. Outside of, I was going to say, outside of CM Punk?
Well, Danielson.
Oh, well, never. Yeah, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Danielson. Yeah. I think easily has it. Like, as much as I was gonna say, Edge had a long, yeah, Edge had to have had a longer career in the WWE in general.
Right. Yeah, he was there. That's he was never anywhere else. He had like a cup of coffee as a dark match at WCW, then he was Edge. You know.
Oh yeah, that was wild seeing that picture very recently, because I forget what his name was there in WCW.
It wasn't Sex in the Hardcastle?
No, it was something pretty generic.
Oh, okay.
Like Derek Stevenson or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
It'd be funny if it was like Derek Steele. Like, I'm not porn. Jesus. But
why was this inspired by, what's, oh, fuck, why did I forget the Ben Stiller movie?
Oh, Zoolander.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
So, here's the other thing. How'd you feel about the closing segment?
It's kind of interesting. Like we said, like him and Christian teaming together, because this is something Chris and I went over together too, and we'll get your thoughts on it. Because again, I feel like we kind of, Chris and I think a lot alike sometimes, and either, well, maybe Christian does have a better chance of becoming a babyface than maybe him and I thought, but I still think it's tough. Like, he has done a genuinely good job of just being a complete dickhead all the time.
Yeah, he shows no charisma whatsoever. If you think, I mean, I know he was like Captain Charisma or a creepy bass or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But he is legitimately just being stoic about everything. And it makes him not fun. So that's pretty fun.
yeah. So it's going to be tough to get them together as a tag team, but I don't know how they've done against each other, honestly, over the years.
I remember that like their feud be kind of a dud, because I don't think anyone wanted to see him feud. Because remember, you know, Christian, of course, turns on him, and then they would have title matches, or they have a feud, and it was just like, all right, these guys are fighting. And it just wasn't interesting. Because I really don't think anyone wanted to see him fight.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that some Canadian duos can do that very well and some others can't. Because Sammy and Kevin is... Sammy Owens and... Sammy Owens, good God.
Sammy Owens. That should have been their tag team name.
Sammy Zayn and Kevin Owens. They always have great matches. You know, like, and their feuds always play out well. Yeah, I don't really remember that happening for Edge and Christian.
I remember there was one ladder match, I don't remember who won, that I thought was interesting, but that was about it. That was so long ago. They never really feuded after that. They kind of just stayed away from each other, maybe because Edge had to retire.
Well, that was part of it, and Christian was in TNA / Impact, whatever it happened to be.
It was TNA back then, yeah.
Was he just TNA era?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I remember he didn't lose for, what, 2 years?
It was a while.
Yeah. So, and I think I was there when he finally did lose. Yeah, because Tyson Tomko turned on him. If I'm getting my facts right, this was in Greenville, South Carolina. I was there. So
wow.
I still marvel at how crowded that place was. I don't know if it was like, you know, papered or whatever, but the entire lower bowl of that arena was full. And the floor. So that was pretty crazy. But, so, I watched this, and Edge is saying a lot of the same things again. Like, I want to be here, I want to wrestle every week, I'll be here all the time, you'll be sick of me, I want to fight this guy, I want to fight this guy, I want to fight this guy. And it's all me, 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 because, of course, it should be. So then he's like, but I'm also out here because I want to talk to Jay, blah, blah, blah. And he calls him and says, come on, Jay, get out here. And it's like, all right, you know, bossy. And then he gets in the ring, he's talking, Sting, man, blah, 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 this and this, right? He goes, you know, you're the TNT champion. And you've made a name for yourself, blah, blah, blah. Whatever, you know, what we can do together. And I'm sitting there listening to this going, wait a second. This guy's made a whole career for himself on his own. Like, WWE didn't want to sign him. So he comes over to I almost said TNA, which in booking sense. He comes over to AEW, becomes champion, is on the run of a lifetime, as I think Edge said. And you want him to put it all on hold to be your tag team partner. Have you been here for 24 hours? Like, after you just chastised me? I'm kind of in love with Christian on this one. Yeah, go fuck yourself. You come into my company trying to steal my thunder? Like, no!
Yeah, it is kind of funny. This is the first time that Christian has really had to deal with this.
Yeah, because he's usually the one that's jealous. In their, like, breakup or whatever, he was the one that was jealous. That's why he turned on Edge. And it's like, a mature adult, I'm kind of like, well, as an adult, he's the mature adult. I can kind of see where he'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Don't try and strap, it's going to be, don't try and strap your rocket to me. It's going to be one of those things. But...
Yeah, that will be fairly entertaining if that's the angle that he works.
Yeah. You come over here and I'm in perfect control and you want to just tag along on me? No, thank you.
Chris and I did predict that Christian would talk about Edge not having a father.
Oh, God.
And having a dead mother. Like, so, honestly, Christian went light this week. He has material on Edge, should he want it. And it will, again, also help him continue to get booze if he goes there against Edge.
Yeah, I also like the idea that Edge isn't worth the time. So he doesn't even bother doing it. So, you know, I could talk about how you never had a father or whatever. Anyway, he goes, but... I'm too busy being a champ and training the future and then, you know, making sure my big man here is, you know, taken care of, whatever. So I felt like we've talked about AEW for a long time this week.
Well, yeah, we did half hour of college football / hockey and 45 minutes of AEW and have gotten close to NXT yet.
Well... I wasn't surprised Dominic Mysterio won the title back, considering that was supposed to be Ali anyways. Interesting booking decision to, you know, have it be Trick instead of somebody else. But I think it adds to the shock of it to where Dominic beats Trick, where, you know, and it took like 3 belt shots and interference, all this stuff, right? So it wasn't exactly a clean win. But I think the shock of it is everyone thought, oh, Trick's gonna be a champion for a while now. So I think I thought that was kind of clever.
Yeah.
As soon as
Trick turned down Carmelo Hayes' offer, because and like that was one of those ones that was understandable. As far as, you know, turning down an offer goes.
Yeah.
But that was immediately like, yep, Judgment Day's coming in here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, as soon as that was, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
I figured Carmella would run out. And maybe even Carmella would accidentally cost him the title. You know, because they are kind of teasing the tension with him still.
Yeah. Yeah, they are certainly still teasing that out some.
Yeah. So, and this just makes it kind of... And maybe it brings them together again. Because I don't think anyone really wants to see the two of them feud. So...
Oh.
You know.
Yeah.
Kind of like the New Day. There's no reason to. So... They're both great in their own ways. And yes, I did say Trick is great. Because I think he is.
He's fun. Oh, yeah.
He's a lot better in the ring now. He can talk. Yeah. So...
Yeah, he's a big boy. That is definitely going to play a little bit better on the main roster.
Yes.
We've kind of said that from Jump Street when... Because they have started to feature him, for the last month and a half or so?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could see things going in his favor at that point.
Yeah, so. And then... I'm just trying to do like abbreviated NXT. From that, and then.
Well, this is the abbreviated NXT. Holy shit, they're loading up next week's NXT.
That's fine. Yeah.
Since they're going up against AEW, that is because that was honestly like just hit after hit after hit. Like you said, like it's wild that Asuka coming to have a match. Is like one of the now like she's like fourth build or fifth build because I'm trying to remember, is Becky Lynch supposed to have a match?
No, remember you saw that injury, right?
Oh, that is gross.
I've never seen fat cells before. That's terrible. Like in an arm, excuse me, fat cells on an arm or an elbow. Like holy shit. Ugh. So, anyways, no, I don't think she is.
Okay, then Asuka's fourth build. Yeah. She's going to get bumped down to fifth if Becky was around. But we have Cody showing up for an announcement.
Yeah, just for the fuck of it. I think that's funny. That was the one where I went, what are they doing? No, I'm sorry. When Carmelo said John Cena was showing up.
Oh, yes.
I was like, well, that's weird because... Cody's the one that's giving him a shout out. Like John Cena's never mentioned him. and then they're like, hey, Cody's gonna show up and say hi. Like, what? And then I honestly thought when Paul Heyman showed up, he was gonna say Roman Reigns is gonna be there.
Oh.
And I was gonna be like, what are we doing?
Yeah, isn't quite that extreme, but still, I feel like Paul has not shown up in NXT previously, so it's still a pretty big deal.
Oh, yes, yeah. But then also by saying Paul Heyman's showing up, it does give you the tease of Solo returning, Jimmy showing up, and even, yes, you know how people like to take stuff and run with it, then it gives you the idea that Roman might show up. And not, like, look at the future or whatever else.
Yeah.
So they can play it that way. So. Stay till you told me. Or, I'm sorry, until I was watching the show last night. And I was like, oh, well, this makes perfect sense. While they're... I was surprised. Well, Rhea Ripley would be there anyways. Maybe if Dom's on.
Yeah.
Put LA Knight on.
Yeah, they couldn't throw much more on that program with Cena, Heyman, Asuka, and Cody Rhodes. Like that is so wild. They're like, nah, we're gonna beat these motherfuckers this time. Like it just is really making me laugh.
Yeah, and the funny thing though is like they're both doing good on their respective nights. And it's not like it's not like AEW is like, no, we're going to war with you on Tuesday. It's Time Warner going, hey, we have baseball. You know? That's why they're moving them. So, it's like, calm your tits. Like, and I know it's going to be like an ego drain if NXT gets whooped, right? So you're like, all right, let's just make sure we don't get our ass kicked. Hey, let's give them John Cena, Cody Rhodes. We'll pepper some Asuka, and we'll tease them with Paul Heyman. And it's like, well, hey, Vince McMahon should show up. which he's never shown up in NXT. That would be amazing. Not that I want him to, mind you.
Nah, that would seem like an odd one.
Keep his vaudeville villain to back.
He can keep his mustache twirling off of WWE TV. That'd be great.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, but I mean, the rest of the show was fine. I mean, nothing terrible. We had Gigi get Jolin got to come back. Keanu James just being a bitch to everyone kind of cracks me up.
I mean, I like what they're setting up with her and Roxanne, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's Roxanne and Asuka, right?
Correct. So I would imagine that Kiana's going to cost her on that one, too.
Which is so funny, because does she really need the cost? Like, Roxanne Perez losing to Asuka? That's okay.
I mean, maybe it'll be clean, but this is the story that they're running with. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's not like she's really going to be directly helping Asuka.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to say, even like, I'm sure she'll do like some sort of like appearance, right?
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's needed. I mean, it's Asuka. There's no harm, there's no shame
in losing to Asuka.
Yeah, when you're in NXT. By the way, has everyone forgotten she's never lost in NXT?
No, they do occasionally mention that, and I feel like they mentioned it recently.
Yeah, I mean, that's why poor Ember Moon, like, she never recovered from that. Remember, Asuka beats her twice? And then they just go, all right, Asuka's just relinquishing the title. And, okay, so Ember Moon, you win at the next pay-per-view. And it's like, what?
That did not do her any favors.
No.
Sometimes tournaments are a better option, even if we get tired of them sometimes.
Yeah. I know you couldn't beat the champion, so here you go. We'll just give you the title after she leaves. Like, okay, cool. Thanks.
Now she's doing a Minions gimmick on ROH TV.
I don't know what that's about, so I saw a headline or a Reddit post about it, and I didn't bother looking. So,
I'm trying to think of. I'm not sure. Oh yeah, because it happened at the at No Mercy there. I will be interested to see what becomes of my favorite Italian buddy here, Tony D'Angelo, who, again, could have been a sale job, not really looking like it to me, though, when he was actually in the ring at No Mercy with a knee brace and a wrap on.
Yeah, they do this a lot now. Both companies do. So it really plays with you. And, I mean, we were just questioning Adam Cole's thing.
Right.
You know, not questioning, but just being like, well, speculating.
Yeah, in both cases, definitely an injury. Well, Adam Cole, definitely an injury. Tony D, I'm like 95% that it was a real injury. What level of injury? I don't. You know, again, since they don't release this information, we got Bubkiss.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's why he was in jail. He tweaked his knee. So it's like, well, maybe he's going back to jail. Well, I guess we'll know. You know?
Yeah, we should find out soon.
Yeah, but it's like, all right, if it is, get surgery It's easy for us to say, me, whatever. Get surgery and come back healthy. Rehab, if it is the same knee, rehabbing didn't help it. And it's just, that's just unfortunate what's going to happen. So.
No.
But yeah, and it's like, he's got a long career ahead of him. Because he's not going to be doing the stupid-ass gimmick on the main roster.
You don't think he's going to be in the dawn of WWE?
No, not at all. And, yeah. So,
it's he's going like to have some gabagool up on the main roster.
Yeah, it's like, you are young enough to recover and come back. So, that's what I honestly think. It just needs to happen. Now, what that does for Stax, I have no idea. But, yeah, it's about Tony D. So.
Oh, yeah. Stax. I hope they don't do what they're doing with, what's his name? Who is the guy that helped Takeshita on AEW this week?
Oh, Kyle Fletcher?
Kyle Fletcher from the United Empire. Yeah, United Empire. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Made me question. I was like, no. I think you're used to hearing United Emirates? Like airlines?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so. Is it United Emirates? Nah, whatever. Who cares? But yeah, but the rest of it, like, Indy Hartwell coming back just to lose, that was weird.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, she's coming up and like, where the hell is Dexter Lumis? And I know we just got Johnny Gargano back, but
and that was one that oh my gosh, he was showing off some what do the kids call that, thirst trap photos? Yeah, that's what we're gonna go with. He looks like he's in good shape. I'll say that much.
I mean, it's the old, we have nothing for you. Like, it's just so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those. It's always the writers. Yeah, both of them got called up with nothing to do.
Yeah. So, oh well. It's not really affected much, but maybe with DIY back, because Candace is gone too. But what she was a product of Nia Jax, right? So maybe that's why.
Yeah, I forget. She's kind of not done a whole lot recently. Honestly.
No.
You know, they tried to have her come back, and they both her and Mia Yim have been in just a really weird spot where, you know, they're kind of veteran women wrestlers that just haven't really gotten in any time whatsoever.
Well, Mia Yim, I think she at least got a pretty nice moment on SmackDown, putting poor Jimmy Uso's face on the moon. So, oof. That was rough. But, I mean, I guess we should get out of here, but it's like, it's NXT. Next week's the real thing. You and Chris will probably be covering that. So,
we will cover Super Tuesday on Wednesday this coming week. I guess to get out of here, do you have a bell time beer that you were drinking, sir?
No, not this week. Just water.
This week, this past weekend, Wolf's Ridge Brewing here in Columbus had their 10th anniversary. I grabbed their Cosmic Brownie Dire Wolf, was one of three beverages that I picked up. This is the fudge brownie version of their Dire Wolf, is their usual imperial stout, and they dress it up sometimes. And this one is just the most chocolatey beer I think I have ever had. It is very delicious. I'm not sure. I know that you can order from them online, and they deliver at least statewide. I'm not sure the full extent of their delivery practices. So please check on that if this sounds really, really good. But it because it is. I really like it. If you like dark beers, I would say highly suggest checking it out. And I will have a few more anniversary beers here in the somewhat near future. So that is the Beltane beer for at DeFrango 11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, Google, or I'm trying to, like, they're all running out now. I think we're on Amazon. Sure, we'll go with that. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.